T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Well, that little top of the hour station identification is all you'll be hearing from Matt Kolsky, who is off today. So what do? Are we just going to go solo once again? The answer is no. Look who's back. Ray. Hi, man. How you doing, Ray?
I give up. Who's back?
It's you. You're back.
Oh, damn it.
You're the one. It's up to
you. That screws everything up.
It's up to you to make today's show great. Nope, no pressure.
Well, then we're screwed, aren't we?
We'll find out when Alex Pavlovich joins us. Chris Rose a little bit later on, and Tim Roy, because we got baseball, we got Giants baseball, we got overall baseball, and we got a hell of a week for the NBA coming up. What an interesting week we are seriously setting up for you. A lot of things are about to happen. We got a trade deadline. We got the Dodgers coming to town starting tomorrow. We've got an NBA draft coming up on Thursday. We're going to be over at Chase Center. What the Warriors do is a huge moment in time in their franchise history with how they use these draft picks, how they might deploy them to craft a trade. I know there's a lot of buzz and rumors as to what might happen. We got an Olympics happening.
We got the SEC happening.
And we got the SEC happening, Ray, in a way that basically lets you know that when it comes to college sports, we're about to burn it all down. I mean, there is nothing that can be couched in tradition, in rivalry, that is going to ever trump money once again. And there are a have and have-nots, and it looks like the haves are going to separate themselves from the nots.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of schools with the last name of State who are in a whole lot of trouble now.
No kidding.
And there's only about three that aren't. And that's Ohio, Penn, and Florida. Everybody else, there's either going to be a Sun Belt kind of reckoning or a Big Sky kind of reckoning for those schools, because they've got nowhere to go. Being caught between the rock and the hard place is over because the rock's been moved.
It is something else, the way that it is all setting up to kind of fail now, while others are going to be in line to succeed in ways that you never thought about a team going about succeeding before. Speaking of in line for failure, Team USA has officially signed up, not just the men's basketball team. Apparently, it's been a rough 24 hours over in Tokyo in terms of just results, expected results, an upset in the pool. We won't play any spoilers for you, but it was a less than glorious day for USA women's gymnastics. I mean, nobody's out of any medal contention or anything yet, but even Simone Biles can have an off day, apparently, and that's what has happened. This is an Olympics that is so drifted away from right, proper, and fun and into the lane of unnecessary and unwanted. Man, it's just such an odd setup.
I have watched two things. I watched Anna Kiesenhofer, who's my favorite athlete of the entire games, the Austrian bicycle rider, who won her race in such a way that the second place rider didn't know she hadn't won. She raised her arms in triumph as though she'd won the gold. Meanwhile, 2 minutes ahead of her, this basically a pacemaker. You know, she's basically a rabbit.
Wow.
You know, won the race, never let up, and won. And I like that. That's the chaos of the Olympics that I like. And the other thing that I watched was the replay of USA France.
What impression did you walk away with?
France is pretty good, and all the excuses that everybody has trotted out for the U.S. except one are not terribly valid. And the one that is valid is they haven't played together very often. They look disjointed. They look like they're trying to figure out how to win on talent alone. And the rest of the world, at least the elite European teams, you know, at least have a philosophy that they've been playing with for a long time, so that the non-NBA players who have been together for a while, they know exactly what they want to do, and they know the roles to which they assign their NBA players. Because the NBA players haven't been overplaying with France. They've been playing in the NBA. So when they get there, their coach can say, you're doing this because we've got these guys to do that. So I think it's more a matter of cohesion than it is anything else. I don't think it's that they don't want to play hard. I think they are playing hard, but I think there is a level of confusion that only got worse when Booker, Middleton, and Holiday got there, because now you've got more guys whose first instinct is to shoot. And in fact, the rest of the world has gotten good enough that if you're not cohesive about what you're doing, you can get beat, and you will get beat.
You need a basketball team to win international games, just not a collection of talent. And there is a tremendous collection of talent, but there's hardly a team to be seen coming out of the Team USA locker room. It's just a whole bunch of talented individual players who have not meshed together. And I'm going to point a direct line at the coach. I think Greg Popovich is showing you that whatever it is, he doesn't have it when it comes to international putting together a team that can go compete. It is embarrassing, the level of lack of understanding what everyone's job is on that court. And we are going to get into that today, I can promise you. We've got some rumors to get to. Everyone likes a rumor. Again, Tim Roy is going to join us at 4:45. Talk about some trade rumors. I know Woj is talking about what the Warriors are going to be doing with their 14th and 7th pick, and I think you got to pick the picks. I think you stay relevant longer by pushing your chips into the middle for a one-way player who is not a rebounder or a great defender. We got a really, really big week of choices coming up, and a really big week down at the ballpark because the Dodgers are coming to town, Ray. It is a off day on both sides of the bridge this afternoon. The Giants are off and the A's are off. The Giants, after taking 3 out of 4 down against the Dodgers, and I'll tell you that series in L.A. was about as dramatic and interesting as any series that the Dodgers and Giants have played against each other in a really, really long time. And hopefully it can get back to being interesting, because things weren't as interesting as they needed to be against the Pittsburgh Pirates, who came in here and won handedly for 2 games before the Giants salvaged that series with a win yesterday. A couple of bright lights to kind of, you know, put an eye on. But what happens at the trade deadline now is going to go a long way to determining how this finishes.
It may. I'm not convinced that it will, though, because I have a feeling that as much talking as there is, that the big deals have already come. And I don't know that the Giants have enough wherewithal to get the kind of difference maker. I mean, they could do a cat and dog trade here and there, because anybody can do that. But I don't know that they have what it takes to get, say, Jose Berrios, because I think there are other teams who have more than they do. The Giants farm system, while better than it used to be, is still not so stocked that you could start throwing guys at teams and get their best starter. And I think that's sort of what the Giants need, is they need not a number three, but they need a number two or a number one. And they could also use a closer of some value. And I think those are going to be very expensive. And I think there are going to be teams chasing them with more bags of stuff than the Giants have. So I think they're going to be very active, but they may not get much of a return.
the first team in the National League West to make what could be considered your big move here in advance of the deadline. San Diego Padres have added all-star second baseman Adam Frazier in a deal with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Frazier and $1.4 million in cash head to San Diego as the Pirates take on three players that you've really never heard of and don't have much of a reputation either at the major league or developmental level. So sort of a raising of the eyebrow trade that A.J. Priller pulled off, and I don't know if he's going to be done making deals. The Padres might be just looking at their place in the standings and thinking we need to be a little bit more aggressive than before. They certainly got aggressive and added Adam Frazier, who you just saw here with the Pirates, who again took two out of three against the Giants after the Giants just took three out of four against the Dodgers. And here come the Dodgers tomorrow. Webb Urias going tomorrow. We've got DeSclafani against Bueller on Wednesday, Thursday's day game. Cueto against David Price. You can sort of feel the Johnny Cueto stock slipping. It's slipped.
Maybe a little. I don't know. I mean, because I think the other dynamic of this trade deadline is that some of those really elite guys may just get priced out, and all of a sudden Cueto becomes more and more desirable to some other team. What I think, though, is the Giants, if they don't get a big guy in return, they're not going to want to shop Cueto. They need three.
I don't mean his stock is dropping in terms of he's about to get traded. I mean, he's your fifth starter as of right now.
No, well, I'm not going to go that far because I'm not going to put my stock in Logan Webb or Alex Wood, you know, down the stretch. Cueto's got to be better.
He's got to be.
He's got to be the number three starter that he's been all year. If he's gonna struggle from this point out, you will see the Giants' Achilles heel revealed for, you know, all good and glory.
We got an awful lot of stuff to get into today. Deshaun Watson apparently back on the radar. What that means to a coming training camp for the Texans. The Tom Brady empire is certainly growing and giving you now, what, doctored but very cool videos. I don't know if he threw that ball into the jugs machine or not, but looked cool.
No, he didn't.
Of course he didn't. We've got our very first COVID termination. We got some COVID news because that's just the world we're living in and how it all relates to sports. And Aaron Rodgers, our long national passive-aggressive nightmare, could be over soon. We'll find out together. Stick around. We got an awful lot coming up this week. I know we're dubbing it the Baynanza. Well, Ratto's back, so it's a Raynanza today here on 95.7 The Game. I'm so uncomfortable having said that. I won't do it again, I promise.
Yeah, I'm already annoyed.
Your business, your high-rise, your HOA in need of quality painting. Now that teams are returning to offices, well, MB Jesse Painting offers the most trusted painting services in the Bay Area, completing projects on time, which, by the way, is like very important. You're going to want that on-time project done. And that's why you need to call MB Jesse Painting, the Bay Area painting experts, MBJESSEE.com. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, sans Kolsky this afternoon on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Check out the BetQL Network, available right now, nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app. All kinds of wagertainment information, morning, noon, and night for you to check out. Hardcore bettors, casual bettors, a little something for you either way. Get the tips you want. BetQL Network, streaming right now on Odyssey. Welcome back. Damon Ratto and Kolsky with you this Monday. No Kolsky, but Ray is back after a lovely week off, and we will have Voltron assembled, like I said, a little bit later on this week. I know we're all heading down to Chase Center for the day of the NBA draft. We're certainly looking forward to that. Plenty of basketball coming up today, but we got a day off for both Bay Area baseball teams, Ray. The Giants, they got a disappointing start out of Cueto on Friday. Then Kevin Gausman basically has his worst outing of the season. And the Giants get blown out on Saturday. They rallied to win on Sunday and salvage one game in the series. And the bright note, other than, of course, Dwayne Kuiper coming back to the broadcast booth, which is certainly a bright note. The bright note is the continued presence in this lineup of Lomont Wade Jr.
High and deep into right center field. It is out of here. Into the 415, and this game is tied. He's got 11.
I don't think I've ever rooted harder in my life for Giants to hit home runs right now, Parker, just to hear that call.
Really was good hearing Dwayne back on the call. And if you like that home run, you're going to like this one too.
My little place and a high drive to right. It is out of here. He's done it again. And the Giants take the lead.
Two home runs from Lomont Wade Jr. yesterday as the Giants rallied again to save the final game of that Pittsburgh series. The guy's just had a monster week. He's got power. He's a little hitterish beyond just his power. He makes good contact. He's listed as a center fielder. He's playing very good first base in the meantime. It ain't easy just to go over there and just you be Brandon Belt now. He has been. I think he's maybe even over-delivered some of the offensive prowess that Brandon Belt's got left to offer for the Giants. Another one of those Farhan moves, Ray, that make you think, well, the biggest deal they can make at the deadline might not be necessary, and just a few little tweaks here and there is probably the road they take.
Maybe. I think they want to swing big, but I don't know if the market's going to let them. Because one of the things that has always irked me about every trade deadline is, well, why didn't so-and-so do something? What makes you think they didn't? What makes you think they just didn't get outbid on stuff? And I think we've seen that Farhan Zaidi, with given a choice between standing pat or doing something, would prefer to do something. But Wade is one of those guys. He's sort of a mini Yastrzemski in a way, because there's no reason why you would look at him and go, yeah, he's going to have a 930 OPS, except right. that he does. And so, you know, it's one of those things where you can't rely on that year in and year out, because sometimes your luck's going to run dry. But Wade's a get. Wade's somebody they could trot out there in about three different positions, you know, and play him almost every day, you know. And to me, the interesting thing will come now when pitchers get that second and third look at him, because that's when guys get made or broken. And if he can get through that, then he's a Yastrzemski type. If he doesn't get through that, then you've got questions to ask. But this is where you'll find out whether Lomont Wade is a borderline major leaguer or a full-fledged major leaguer.
The book. We get the book on him. And then you got to adjust through the book. Yeah. You got to turn your own page.
Yeah, and then they adjust to you, and then you got to adjust a second time.
Exactly.
It's not, well, I fixed that, I'm home free. Because all baseball is adjustments every single day.
Well, and now having the Dodgers just gotten a really good close up and close look at him down at Dodger Stadium, they're coming on back. And what he does goes a long way against three very, very important games. I mean, the difference between a just two or three game lead right now feels like a little bit of a big difference. I mean, you can see how quickly being 2.5 back can become 5.5 back. And A's fans, I'm talking about you, because that's what just happened. The A's win an opener in Seattle behind one of Sean Manaea's most dominant outings of his entire career. Then they've dropped three in a row while the Astros won three straight. And now the Athletics are 5.5 back. Boom. Just like that this weekend in the American League West.
More troublesome. They're only a game and a half ahead of a very ordinary and not very offensively minded Seattle team. That's the real problem, is whether you catch the Astros or not, it's a nice get. But if you get passed by Seattle, you're not going to the postseason.
That's true. And they just went and lost 3 out of 4 up in Seattle. And nothing is about to get easy for the A's. We'll see if they can actually help the Giants out just a little bit, because the A's are in San Diego starting tomorrow night. San Diego's big move is that they have traded for all-star second baseman Adam Frazier. Adam Frazier is consistent as hell. He puts the ball in play. He's a real contact hitter in a league that devalued contact to the point where no one really rolls out of bed hitting 320, 330. Adam Frazier's done that all season long. It's too bad the Padres couldn't have pulled the trigger on the trade before he came on in and did a little damage against the Giants themselves. Dave Fleming was on our morning show today on the Morning Roast, and he talked about how, as Farhan sits and sees what is happening in the division, any trade he makes will be one that he wants, not necessarily a reactive move.
I don't believe Farhan is ever going to be reactive. I just don't believe that. That is not how he thinks. That's not how he believes a team should be run. He is not going to just knee-jerk respond to something. He's worried about how can we make our team the best it can be. So that's number one. I don't believe that a move from one of those other teams would trigger a move from him.
Yeah, it doesn't correlate like that. It's what do you need, what can you go get, not what did they do, now what do we need to do because they just did something. That's not how, obviously, this team is built or how it's put together or how the GM thinks.
No, but I do think that he can see little fraying at the edges. Cueto is an example of that. And if they, if they lose another guy in the everyday lineup or what passes for their everyday lineup, you can't patch holes forever. And at some point, I believe he's going to want to make a play for something that can last. And I think it's more likely to be pitching. So it's not about being knee-jerk. It's about seeing the thing that's going to keep you from having a deep run in the playoffs. And that, to me, looks like pitching, because you can never have too much of it. And right now, they are sort of bare-bonesing it. They've got 3.5 starters if you take all 5 of them and combine them. And Gausman's starting to show a little sign of getting a little weary.
Yeah.
So I think any move you make won't be necessarily knee-jerk. It will be based on planning. But there's a lot of planning that has to go into making a team ready for October, as opposed to making a team ready to try to get to October.
Last week, Grant Brisby rolled out a really good article just about the possibilities, like the level up of possibilities just in the pitching market for the Giants. And he gave examples like, would it be the right and proper thing for the Giants to bet on a guy having a bad season somewhere else that you could get for cash considerations and a player to be named later, like level type of trade, like a Jose Quintana or Zach Davies, a J.A. Happ, or a few names that he threw out. It's a guy that you can bring in to maybe help, not tremendously set you up to help, but it won't wreck your system. You're not giving away anyone that you think is going to be an important piece of the future. More of a medium move, like an Alex Cobb or Drew Smyly, maybe even John Lester if the Nationals end up really becoming sellers here. There's the third starter level move, and this was, I think, maybe the most interesting name that he brought up in terms of gettability without stripping you bare bones of either one of your top prospects. John Gray of the Rockies. I thought that was a really good idea because he knows the division well. He's a good pitcher. Wade Miley, another one of those names that he put out there. You know, the kind of guy where you're not asking Logan Webb to start a playoff game. And then there's the damn division move. Kyle Hendricks. Max Scherzer. You know, big move. An absolute game one of the World Series starter level type of move. And like you said, it might be a little bit too much to get into a bidding war with another team for one of those guys.
Yeah, see, Scherzer 2 weeks ago wouldn't have been on the market. But Washington has gone into free fall. And they've found out that Juan Soto cannot bat in all 9 positions.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, because he's ridiculous good.
Yeah.
He is the best player in baseball that nobody's paying attention to. I mean, it's not close.
Well, he's 14.
Yeah, and, I mean, the home run derby, the only thing that anybody remembers about him is he was the guy who beat Otani.
Right.
But if you look and see what he did since the All-Star break, where it just, you know, home run after home run, just, you know, basically keeping Washington from free-falling and getting passed by the Marlins. So Scherzer might be on the block, but I think he's the kind of guy that Farhan's going to have to strip mine the system for. And I think that's the thing he doesn't want to do. I think that second group is more appealing to him, even though J.A. Happ, Wade Miley are ordinary guys. And if you're going to ask them to be a third starter in the postseason, they'd better be ordinary guys with a very quick upside, because you can't have a guy giving up five in the postseason.
No.
As your third starter.
You know, the point is, too, is the Giants really do bottle their own rehab projects on these guys. Stop throwing this pitch, lean on this pitch, and it's really worked in some scenarios. Eventually, you're going to bet on the wrong guy.
Yeah, well, you'll either bet on the wrong guy or it'll take too long, because those are not guys you're going to, you know, plan on building around for the future.
Right.
They're guys for the right now, which means they have to be ready to hit the ground running. And when you go to that second tier guy, it's a coin flip, and you don't have the kind of metrics required to be able to figure out which of those guys turns up heads and which of those guys turns up tails.
I mean, the Dodgers aren't even close to being healthy right now. And look at the way the end of their bench battles up and down in that lineup, 1 through 8. I mean, that is just a tough lineup to get through. And that's with Bellinger struggling. That's with Mookie Betts not out there. That's with Seager not being there. I mean, it's amazing how hard they battle, even with some of their best guys shelved. And now the Padres, who've got a seriously hard to get through lineup themselves, make it a little bit harder, adding second base all-star second baseman, is how it's properly said, by the way. Adam Frazier of the Pirates. The trade was made. Padres GM, A.J. Priller.
It's a winning offensive player. It's a really tough out. He's a quality defender, so you have, you know, two-way value as well. And then we see some versatility also. You know, he's gone out there and played some outfield. You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we go down here down the stretch and then hopefully into October where we want to play. Guys that we feel like are, you know, winning type at-bats, winning type players. He checks a lot of boxes for us, and hopefully will be a big contributor for us here over the course of the next couple of years.
So what'd you think of the Starling Marte rumor last week for the Giants? It feels like a gettable, kind of doable rental. I don't know if you'd call it a rental, but I'd have to look at what his contract is. But a guy like that feels a little bit more doable than setting your sights on someone like Joey Gallo. Who...
It struck me as aggressively meh. It just, eh. I mean, frankly, if I want a Marte, I'd rather have Kettle, and I'd be willing to pay more to get him. And Starling Marte is the sort of guy who, if he had ever done really well at one place, he wouldn't be in Miami now. So I kind of listened to it, and I went, I mean, is he going to do more for you than Wade's doing right now? I mean, I realize Wade's the gamble, but I think they're starting to see enough in him that I think they're ready to roll the dice with him and find out. Because I don't think he's the guy who's going to either propel them into the playoffs or keep them out of the playoffs. And I also don't feel the same way about, I feel the same way about Marte. It's, all right, if you're going to do that, are you doing it just for show? Or are you doing it because you think you're really addressing a problem? And I don't know that Starling Marte is the guy who addresses a problem that is really biting them in the ass.
Trade deadline. Tick, 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 tick. Who in the next 4 or 5 days will drop 3 out of 4 games and turn themselves from we think we might be a buyer still into a seller? And, man, it feels like the A's might be living in that neighborhood. I mean, how bad would things have to get for the A's down in San Diego before they started realizing that maybe it's time that they become sellers?
I don't think they're going to be sellers. I think the worst they can be on trade deadline day is a game and a half out of the wild card. And I don't think that means free fall, you're doomed. I mean, don't forget, these are the guys who started off the year as the worst team in baseball, and then they fixed it. Now, I'm not planning them to win 13 in a row again, But I don't think they're going to be sellers. I think they're going to be what they've always been, which is cautious buyers. They're not far enough out of the play to do that. And frankly, at this point, really the only team, you know, I think Toronto's still a buyer, and then everybody after that is a seller. Like Cleveland, the Angels, you know, the whole bottom half of the AL Central. I think the breakoff, I don't know why the Cardinals still think they're in this, but, you know, they probably are, but I don't. I mean, Chicago's given every indication that they want to just dump salary like crazy.
It's a fire sale.
Yeah. Atlanta stopped being a factor when Acuna went out. You know, Washington, you know, now they're 11 games out of the wild card. I don't think you get to decide you're a buyer at that point.
No, you're done.
You know, Colorado's done, Miami's done, Pittsburgh's done, Arizona's done. So really, you know, the teams that are looking to acquire stuff, I think you're probably looking at Cincinnati of the teams outside the playoffs in the National League, and then, you know, maybe Seattle, although they're incredibly cheap. Certainly the Yankees would have to. Toronto would have to. Maybe Cleveland, although I think they're going to ride the excitement wave of being the Guardians now. I don't know that they're going to be aggressive.
So we had a couple of baseball stories last week that you weren't around for. What do you think of the mighty Cleveland Guardians, Ray?
I think it has one genuine selling point, and that is that it's a nickname that the people who live in Cleveland and are going to go to games understand and probably like, because it seemed to hit well there. Does it roll off the tongue? No. Does their logo excite me? No. But I think it's like what we talked about with the Giants, you know, city nonsense uniforms. None of it said San Francisco to San Franciscans. I think Guardians says Cleveland to Clevelanders. So it's very much a locals call. And I think Cleveland understands at least that they're not going to be a national figure unless they win a World Series. They're just a team that's there. And I think their job is to make sure that the people in Cleveland can feel okay about it.
You should have gone with the Cleveland LeBrons. It's more recognizable. It's more identifiable. And let me tell you, as someone who's got friends in Cleveland, I've been to Cleveland. Not once has anyone ever brought up those damn Guardians on their Art Deco bridge, which is not referenced in any element of pop culture I've ever seen generated from Cleveland, around Cleveland. To me, the whole thing, it's just a safe play. And they can take the I-A-N-S and kind of just, we're still sort of that at the end, if you want to talk about the suffix, how you end your mascot's name.
But it does open up that nickname for the Washington football team to take.
They should. They should jump all over.
Absolutely. Because that would be the Danny Snyder. That would be the kind of first move you'd want Danny Snyder's wife to make.
We're going Indians. I didn't even think of that. That's beautiful.
No, I didn't mind Guardians. It doesn't excite me, but it doesn't have to excite me. I mean, I think they can do better work on the logo, but you know, at least they got out from under a thing that had started to make them the one thing they don't want to be, is a matter of local indifference and national shame.
Speaking a matter of local indifference, that brings us to the other story last week that you missed. The A's got to their event horizon, got the yes vote, but said that's not the yes vote we wanted, so that's a no vote. And today have announced that they're relocating to, oh, nowhere. They got nothing.
No, and that's what we've been saying all along, is you don't say you're ready to go unless you got a place picked out. And what they want is someone to love them. They want another city to love them in the only way that cities can love you, cash and real estate. And Vegas, you know, that ballpark's not getting built in Las Vegas. It's getting built in the suburbs where tumbleweeds live.
Fortinbaugh lives in Henderson, Nevada. That's all you need to know about that dump.
See? I mean, so property values are already in the toilet.
Exactly.
You know, Portland, you know, you can't really build anything on the waterfront because that's already taken. You know, so now you're talking about the southwestern suburbs or out by the airport? Meh. I mean, Portland is a place you build a park downtown so that you get walk-up traffic. They have no place to put that.
And wouldn't downtown. Portland represent almost the same sort of local economic lack of Fortune 500 businesses that is preventing, you know, brisk business in Oakland?
Well, I mean, you can't expect Nike to buy all 100 suites at your new ballpark out in Tigard. You know, that's the problem. They don't have enough of the kind of big businesses who would spend $500,000 on a suite every year. And you also have a population that is pretty thrifty with its money. They spend to go see Blazers games because the Blazers represent the town because they were the first team there. But other than that, I mean, they had a minor league hockey team there. When they raised their prices from $10 to $15, it was a fan revolt. We're not paying $15. The hell with you. They had to drop the prices back down. So, you know, I think Portland is a place that's more secure in itself than the kind of town that desperately needs a ballpark and a ball team to fill it.
Wrapping things up with headlines that you weren't here for last week. How excited are you that the greatest San Jose Shark of all time is the captain of the Kraken?
That's fine.
I don't think he got captaincy.
He's not. That's going to be Mark Giordano.
But still, Donskoy, he won't go away. He won't leave us, Ray. He is.
Oh, no, I'm quite sure that he's going to stay on that damn board of yours for life.
You know it. Oh, good to see him. The Seattle Donskoys. And I really, really like Kraken, but they'll be the Seattle Donskoys until he moves on, and then we'll adopt the Kraken. But we have now two NHL teams to cover vividly, the Sharks and the Donskoys.
Well, we don't cover the Sharks vividly, so we'll stop there. And Donskoy is only a place on your board, so you'll have to pay attention to him. I know you're not going to pay attention to the Kraken.
It's a place on the board. It's a spot in my heart.
Yes. And frankly, your cardiologist wants to talk to you about that.
No doubt. We have, in about a half an hour, Alex Pavlovich joining us to talk a little Giants baseball. Nothing short of the biggest series you're going to find anywhere on a major league schedule. Starting tomorrow at 24 Willie Mays Plaza with the Dodgers coming to town. When we do come on back, though, we got some NFL rumors to get to and an NFL actual story or two. So stick around for all that. Ray is back here on 95.7 The Game, and that is enough to celebrate and be dancing in the streets, I think, all over the Bay Area. Damon Ratto and Kolsky without Matt this afternoon. He should be back tomorrow. And, of course, we're all going to be over at Chase Center coming up on Thursday for the NBA Draft. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. The Bananza is officially upon us, happening right here on 95.7 The Game all week. I mean, tomorrow, Dodgers come to town. Wednesday, we got training camp opening for the 49ers. Then the NBA draft on Thursday. We got a baseball trade deadline. The start of NBA free agency. It all happens in a six-day span right here, and it happens on 95.7 The Game, the Bananza, brought to you by Pacific Catch. Sustainable seafood, West Coast style. I like Pacific Catch, by the way. Let me throw that little personal endorsement in there. It's a tasty little treat that they can deliver for you. It's pretty good.
Well, but the seafood they serve you has not sustained. It has passed on to the next realm.
But then you can eat it, and you're sustained. So that's how that all works.
Okay, then. As long as the fish are fine with it.
As long as I'm fine with it.
Okay.
I wasn't worried about the fish, I can be honest.
Well, clearly.
We do have an awful lot of stuff to get into today. Again, Alex Pavlovich comes up at 3:15. We're going to get back to baseball with him. Chris Rose at 4:15 on the trade deadline and what is happening as we approach NFL season. Tim Roy a little bit later on. 45 days away from the start of the football season. I mean, blink your eyes and it's going to be here. Training camps are going to be opening all week, and it looks like our long national passive-aggressive nightmare, the standoff between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, is starting to approach an end, or at least a compromise, with the noise being not even 24 hours ago that Aaron Rodgers is really considering retirement. They even took down Packers futures bets off the board in a few books in Las Vegas, which means they actually think there might be something to a retirement rumor. Well, not even 24 hours later, apparently we have reached an agreement enough to have Aaron Rodgers decide that he's coming back for one more go around, one more season, and then the Packers will figure out how to divorce everybody.
Or not.
Or not. You're
right
about that.
Because the Packers also got what it wanted. Not to have Jordan Love as their starting quarterback in week one. They know that this is a kicking the can down the road exercise. And if it's only 1 year, it's only 1 year. If it's only 2 years, it's only 2 years. But they didn't lose face, and they didn't lose their quarterback. So that's sort of where they wanted this to end.
You know what never really made sense to me? And sure, you can be your rhubarb might be rubbed the wrong way if you're a quarterback and they draft another quarterback when you've been to two straight NFC title games in a row and it feels like you're maybe one or two players away, and that one or two players won't be carrying clipboards. Like, draft someone to play out there and affect the competitive seasons that we're in. Outside of all that, why is Aaron Rodgers complaining so much? I mean, I just don't get it. It doesn't seem like he's got a problem necessarily with the coach or his teammates or the people he deals with on a day-to-day. It's the president of the Packers that he doesn't like. There's nobody you have to deal with less than that guy, right? I mean, it just seems it felt like he was trying to make himself a victim when really all we have are high-priced negotiations and future decisions playing out in real time. And, oh, by the way, Aaron, woe is you, woe is you. You're in the NFC title game 2 years in a row. It's not like you're in a clear bad situation that you need to extricate yourself from to find some success. You were just the MVP with the lousy setup we gave you.
But one of the things that has been true of Rodgers all along is that he wanted to be able to have some input on the players surrounding him as he enters into the twilight of his career, which he didn't get. And he didn't get help at the two positions that he desperately has needed it to put them past the conference final. Didn't get a wide receiver, desperately needed one. Didn't get a running back, desperately needed one. And I think this has long ago descended into a Brian Gutekunst is trying to screw me thing. And it's not about woe is Aaron. It's about, do you guys want me to finish with a flourish or finish as the fifth best team in the league? And I think he was basically saying, get better players for me. It's not that hard. And for the most part, they haven't. So I get why he's bent. And the fact that he was using his leverage to make that clear, to me, is that's player empowerment. But it's also personal with him and Gutekunst. It's now, you know, I told you we didn't need a quarterback. We needed support. We needed offensive linemen. Because I'm the guy who gets the hell beat out of me, too. And I'm not going to throw very many touchdown passes when I'm flat on my face. And so I think the start of it was, get me better players so that I can function at my best. And now it's about, well, I hate you because you hate me because I hate you. And so it's not really about woe is me. It's, you've had a chance to keep this window open, and I'm not sure you have.
It just feels so passive aggressive.
It is.
It feels like there's a lot of, well, you know what I want, so I shouldn't have to tell you what I want. And to me, the whole thing is just, it's so, and look, as someone who grew up a Bears fan, I'm not even comfortable saying this, it's so beneath the Packers. Like, this is a great franchise that, even as he claims is being run poorly, keeps on appearing in NFC title games. Like, you can say what you want about what the GM didn't do. What he did was put a team good enough on the field to be in that game. Straight up. I mean, they have done nothing but fail upwards with their coaching hires, with their on-field execution. I mean, the Packers have been a really good football team for many, many years.
That said, the last few years of the McCarthy era did not end well at all. And while he does like Matt LaFleur better than he liked McCarthy, I think he looks around at other players in this league and he says, why am I not asked for my opinion? Russell Wilson gets asked. Tom Brady gets asked.
But only
I've done at least as much as all but one of them.
Brady didn't get asked anything in New England, which is why he had to leave.
No, he got asked on a number. I mean, look, he won on the Garoppolo deal because he went to Bob Kraft. So he had avenues to express himself. Rodgers is saying, I've never had one, and I want one. And if you don't give me one, then we're going to have a problem. And they had a problem. They've solved it for the moment. But it's going to rear its ugly head again this coming offseason.
I mean, all I could tell you is that I look at Aaron Rodgers, and the only thing that matches what I think is his ungodly accuracy and talent level is his ability to mope and bitch about nothing. And I could see Aaron Rodgers have the kind of mopey attitude that does as much to get the Packers not to where they want to go as his talent might be able to get him where they want. I mean, Aaron Rodgers having the least amount of fun for a team that he's got no love loss for, that he's the captain of, it feels like it is set up to fail on arrival. And for him to say, like, hey, me and Devontae Adams, it's our last dance. When was your first dance? Like, seriously, has there ever been a franchise that has literally done less with back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks?
Well, then there's the answer to your earlier question. Aaron Rodgers wants to do more at the end of his career than Brett Favre did, and that means having a team on the field that you don't have to compensate for, that doesn't have holes, where you can stand in the pocket or move around in the pocket with a fair amount of confidence that you can not only survive but succeed. And I think that's what he's been complaining about. And I'm willing to listen to that just because, you know, getting to the Final Four in the NFL means nothing. Getting to the Final Two means something. Getting the Final One is everything. It's the nature of the sport. And if you look at the Packers over the last 5-6 years, did you ever get the sense that they were the best team? Because I didn't.
No, I never got that sense because, I mean, let's just be totally honest. The best team in football is far out ahead of the second best team in football, just in terms of on-paper talent. The Kansas City Chiefs are hard to measure yourselves against. I don't care who the hell you are right now.
Which I understand, but the Packers aren't close to that, and I think the case can be made that if they weren't worried about what's going to happen after Aaron Rodgers, they could have spent that draft choice and the draft choices before it making the kind of offense that you look at in Kansas City and go, man, how did they ever lose? And I think that's the view here because their defense isn't bad. They fixed their defense not with, you know, high-profile picks or huge free agent spending. They just did it by being smart. So they had assets and availability to fill in those holes in the offensive line, to get the running back who, you know, if not, is it may not be Derrick Henry, but is at least somebody you can talk about, and maybe that one other target for Rodgers to throw to. And they never asked him any time what he thought they needed. And he's a smart enough guy, and he's got enough throw weight that even if you don't want to listen to him, bring him in the room. Bring him in the room and
appease
say, okay,
him.
Let's walk
just
this
appease
through.
Him.
Not just to appease him. He might have an idea that you hadn't considered. Because unless I've misread this, he's a pretty smart guy.
He is.
So use that. And the fact is the Packers have been adamant about not doing that. And I think that's the genesis of how this broke down. Because it's not just McCarthy. I mean, Gutekunst was there for McCarthy, and he's been there for LaFleur. That's where the disconnect happened. And Gutekunst is clearly stubborn enough to refuse wisdom if he's got his mind made up. And that's no way to be a general manager unless your goal is to be the next Trent Baalke.
It just looks to me like it's time for a divorce. And I don't know if you're going to get the best of Rodgers if he's already 1 foot out the door mentally, knowing that it's going to be his last year. You're telling me he's going to play through an ache or pain in a 3-game losing streak if he just knows that it's, you know, that fourth game, well, it doesn't mean as much to me now, and I'm not going to go and get myself hurt when I know I'm going to be available and on the market a year from now. I mean, I just – it sets up for a lot of questioning, an awful lot of questioning.
It does do – I'll do this quick before the break.
Look at
you. It's also his walk-off. It's also his walk year. There's no greater motivation for a guy to be on his best than when he's showing himself off with the other 31 teams.
Sure, but don't we all understand that Aaron Rodgers could go 8-8 with only 3,000 yards and a bad touchdown interception ratio, and he's still going to be the number one quarterback on the market, period, end of story.
Yeah, but if you go in with a Super Bowl appearance in your quiver, you've got even more leverage than you got now. And more leverage is never a bad thing.
I'll take some leverage. How much leverage you want? More.
All you can get.
I'll take some leverage. By the way, welcome, everyone, to your 3 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.